gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you, every creed and color. With that being said,
we had.
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh, yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal. And we have here with us the Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. Really looking forward to this show. One of the great things about the Section 357 show, some talk here about sports and alcohol. So it's going to actually push the limits of one of my favorite co-hosts, my man Ronnie. How you doing?
Hey, every crew needs a good designated driver, and I'm looking forward to this guest strictly off of the Twitter handle alone, Al Sharpton. I know this is going to be fun. But before we bring him into the conversation, we've got to go out left coast somewhere on Pacific Coast Highway. It's my main man, L.A. Trey. Trey, what's happening?
My brothers, here we go again. I can't wait to grab a cold one after this show gets done. But before I do that, I need to know what I need to get. So I'm glad we got our host. He'll guide me in the right direction. Let's get this thing started.
As usual, you can always find us on Twitter at Section 357. You can also subscribe to and download the podcast on Stitcher, on iTunes, as well as Podomatic. But with all of that being said, it's time to welcome in our guest for this episode, friend of the show, beer aficionado, Al Sharpton. Al, how you doing, man?
What is up, Ball Street in the house, man? I'm looking forward to this one. I got a brew in my hand right now.
Well, let's start right there. What are you drinking right now?
This one is a called the Hop Rising. It's by Squad Beers and out of Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. It's a double India Pale Ale. And you can't even get it here in Georgia, but I got connections.
Well, let's keep it right there and maybe go a little bit farther back. Ale, you are a beer guy through and through. Where did your love and your desire to embrace this journey that you're on, where'd that start from?
I'm from New York, and hanging out with my uncles in Brooklyn, New York. I was six, and my uncle has a joke that watched this and gave me a sip of his Miller High Life, and he expected me to spit it out as a joke to make fun of me and my friend, you know, in front of his boys. But actually sipped it and said, wow, that's actually pretty good. I'm going to drink that when I'm older. And he was like, give me my damn beer back. And I ruined this joke for him. But that taste always resonated on my tongue. And then when I was about 17 years old, 18, I kind of started to get into it. And while my boys were grabbing their sixes of, BS brew at that time, I was like thinking I was the man with a lone brow. Loved the packaging, loved the different taste palettes that they delivered. So ever since then, it's been cool. I ended up going to Cornell University, again in New York, and studied hospitality management, and then moved down to Atlanta in 90. And Georgia's beer law was about 6% at that time, but I was very upset because they had no good craft beer here at that time. So I actually put my writing efforts into documenting the beer scene down south until I really got serious with it, branded myself as Ale Sharp and something that you can remember instead of Dennis Malcolm Byron, which sounds like a law firm. And then got it in from there. So it was on and popping. Made a dope logo with my boy Vince, and that was it.
Welcome to the show, Ale. I got a problem, man. I got a cutie pie that doesn't like drinking beer. I take it to the sports bar to check out some games, and the waiter's always bringing something with some fruit in it or an umbrella. Help me tell my little cutie pie as to why I want her to drink the same type of beer as I got. How do you get females to drink beer, man? Help me out.
Oh, that's a good one. I love that question. First of all, you need to let her know that not all beer is bitter. And that's one of the misconceptions. Number two, that beer makes you fat. That is another misconception. Rum and Coke has more calories than a glass of beer. The third, let her know that beer can have any kind of flavor, be it smoky, chocolate, to very sweet and strawberry. So she's into that umbrella drink. Go ahead and order a Linda Mint's Frambois or Lambic. That's made with raspberries and strawberries out of Belgium. There's also another beer called Truly that is made out of strawberries. She's going to drink that and like, whoa, this is beer? You're going to be like, absolutely. And then that'll be the gateway for her to open her mind more and try out the beer.
Ale, this is Ron. I have been the designated driver for these guys for almost 20 years. But I'm not judgmental on it. So we're entering spring. We'll be hitting the summer soon. Talk to our people about what beer you should have for the certain seasons. You know, it's going to be March Madness, NBA playoffs, summer cookouts going on. As we sort of transition into the warmer weather season, hopefully, what should you have for your guests or for your people?
That's a great, great question. During the spring, beer is made for all seasons, so I'm glad you asked that question. During the spring, you're going to want to go with something a little bit lighter, more sessionable, meaning you could drink a few of them in one talking session or hanging out. So wheat beers are usually about the 5 to 6%. There's some other great beers that are coming out that are sessionable as well, such as IPAs, which are Indian Pale Ales, or a little more bitter. Those are fun. So look for that ABV to be around in the 4, 5 to 6 and enjoy yourself, particularly during March Madness, since there are a lot of games on during that day on Thursday leading all the way through. That's my favorite time of year, so I make sure my brews are on point.
Well, this is Derek here, and, you know, you've got a brew in your hand. I got to admit, I've got a little Canadian whiskey in my hand right now.
Okay.
I started off as a beer guy, and I've kind of transitioned to more of a hard liquor guy, to be honest. But when going out to the bars, you know, there's something about the reliability of getting a beer. You know what you're going to get as opposed to getting a mixed drink or a shot or whatever. So
Talk
a little bit more about this Atlanta craft beer scene, because I got to admit, I'm up in, you know, the suburbs. I'm up in Lawrenceville and actually just discovered a spot that has what I take to be a subpar menu, to be honest. But it does serve craft beer. So talk to me a little bit more about the craft beer scene in and around Atlanta.
Oh, man, Atlanta is arguably, in my opinion, honestly, top 10 beer cities in the nation. We have two of the top 5 world-class beer bars right about 5 miles between each other right here in downtown Atlanta, the Brick Store and the Porter. There's another one that's gangster in East Atlanta called the Argosy. What makes a really good beer bar is a great beer list that has a rotating tap. Porter has about, there's some in the 200s with beer selection, so it's crazy. But you look for a spot that has more than 10 taps, and they're dedicated to craft beer. There's got to be one at least on there that is pouring something that's different from your average big guys, you know what I mean? So Lawrenceville has a couple of good spots. But come on downtown, man. I'll show you around, and we're going to be killing it out here.
I got a question, because I met somebody not too long ago, and they actually make their own beers. One, do you make yours? And then two, is it
is it something that I should do because I just want to have beer on me at all times and it's easy to do? Or is it really worth the expense? You know, give me kind of the details if you do it yourself or know of people that brew their own.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, man. It's really, really an art to make beer. And it involves chemistry. It involves a culinary experience. So if you like cooking, being a chef, being a chemist in a lab, I strongly recommend you do it. I did make my own beer for the first time a couple of months ago with a guy named John Shari. And we made a beer. I came up with a recipe. I wanted a chocolate kind of stout with mint in it. And it came out perfect. It is about 13.5% ABV. But it was absolutely delicious, and we had it with my crew called the Leaders of the Brew School, which is a group of brothers who do bottle trades every week. And we went and had Thin Mint, the Girl Scout Cookie Thin Mint, with this brew. It was the best pairing I've ever had. Because I just did a beer dinner last night in Barnsley Gardens Resort, and I paired six beers with six dishes, and people were blown away. I brought a smoky beer. I brought a strawberry beer. I brought a chocolate beer. I bought so many different styles. They were like, I didn't know beer could taste like this.
Think about the beers you like, and then you have brew kits for any style that you want to embrace, that you are has your favorite. I'm a stout man. I'm also IPA dude, but I'm starting to like saisons as well. So there's so many different styles that you can go ahead and pick, and they have beer kits for them, and brew with somebody who is experienced and has the kit first, and have it in their backyard, the whole nine, so you can get what it smells like. What the whole process is, do it with somebody's experience, an experienced home brewer. And I can always help you guys find them as well.
Well, Al, to piggyback off of Dee's question earlier about the craft, the brews, and the whole experience in Atlanta, I would like to take that beyond the ATL because we have listeners all across the country and even internationally. So can you talk about this sort of craft beer explosion that I feel like we're in right now and have been maybe for like the past 5 or 10 years.
We are in a craft beer explosion right now, thank goodness. And every city now is going to have a great beer bar. So, for instance, Chicago's crazy with it. L.A. is starting to really get going. San Fran is phenomenal. Portland, and even places like Birmingham, which is a couple hours away, is really starting an explosion. And what people are realizing is the tasting profile beer can bring and complement meals. So beer dinners are starting to be very, very popular. And they're replacing wine. And there are actually battles going on where wine versus beer during meals is a big thing. And I could bring beer to a wine battle anytime and whip that ass.
Ale. This is a fan experience type of show, and we're talking about beer. But let's transition over into the sports aspect just a little bit. In terms of your sports allegiances, where do you lie? What teams are you prone to follow? What are your favorite sporting moments throughout the sports calendar? Give our fans out there some sense of who you are as a sports fan.
I am an avid sports fan. I feel incomplete if I don't watch my Sports Center every morning. With that being said, I've had relatives play in football, NFL league. Tony Gonzalez is my cousin, and before him, Wilbur Young, who was a great defensive end for the Chargers in the Don Coryell era. And so I followed the Chargers when he played and then followed Tony's teams when he played. So I really don't have a football team, but I love watching certain cats play, such as Peyton Manning. I'm a big fan of him. Just people are so passionate about the game. Kobe Bryant, I'm a big fan of him, just for the way he studied it. And so that made me kind of a Lakers fan. So I really watch certain players that are just ridiculous in terms of really knowing the craft. So I can marry that to the whole beer aspect, the way I study beer. So people who really have a passion for that game, Ray Lewis was one of them. People like that, you got to watch them and embrace the way they get it in. So that's the way I watch sports, by watching cats who are really just ridiculous on the court, do their thing, or people on the football field who do their thing as well. I'm a Yankees fan, though. So, you know, I'm born in New York, so Derek Jeter is another one of those players. So I don't go out and buy certain jerseys and wear them all over the place to show I'm allegiance to one team. It's just more of enjoying it and watching the games. March Madness is another thing I can't wait for. So that's me in a nutshell.
L, let me ask you this fourth question. As a Yankee fan, of course, Jeter, right? This is the last hurrah for Jeter. But I want to talk to you about Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez, you know, there's been a lot of controversial figures in New York sports history. And Alex Rodriguez, while he wasn't there long, probably shot close to the top of that list. A lot of bad with Alex Rodriguez, but there was a World Series title, which he was definitely a contributor to. Where do you stand on the A-Rod platform? Because I know it's pretty much either real to the left or real to the right. So this is kind of my curious question. I've always wanted to ask a Yankee fan about this. The Alex Rodriguez experience, where do you stand with him? And it looks like we are pretty much in his last days as a Yankee and as a player.
I'm right now, honestly, like, I mean, yeah, he contributed to a World Series, but he's not the Yankee that I know. Jeter is a true Yankee. Reggie Jackson was a true Yankee. Bucky Dent, people like that. Those Grindman, Girardi, those people were ones that I really rooted for. I love the pitching staff that they have. A couple of guys are getting it in, but with A-Rod, I never got a true Yankee feel from him. If he was the bounce of some team sign him, I wouldn't cry. I know he has a lot of luggage that comes with him as well. He's trying to handle as best he can, but overall, I've never considered him a true Yankee. He just doesn't seem to fit totally that aura of what a real Yankee is to me. So I'll cheer for him if he had a home run. I'm like, yes, but overall, man, I mean, he was a great player. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I when I say Yankees, I'm going to only list a few of them. Sebastian is a Yankee to me just because they just have that attitude, and that's what a Yankee has to come with. But with A-Rod, I feel some a different kind of way with that brother.
Now, let me get you back on topic here. I mean, because obviously by being a Yankees fan, you only know so much about baseball. Just giving you a hard time. But
I was an Oakland A's Bass Brothers fan, too. Like, certain people I definitely mess with. I know my baseball, but not as much as I can list the things in basketball and football. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, yeah, but just let me take us through a full sports day for you. You know, maybe it's during the fall and it's a Sunday and you've got a full slate of football, or you know, maybe it's pre-World Series and you got, you know, a football game on that you want to watch, then you want to watch a baseball game. How do you do it? How do you plan out your alcoholic consumption throughout the day? Let me add this too. One of my favorite quotes is that you can't say that you drank all day without drinking in the morning. So take us through a beer or alcohol day in sports with you.
All right, well, I usually don't eat breakfast. And if it is a breakfast on a sports day, like the magical days you're discussing, a Sunday is always ideal. I love my Sundays. I make sure all my work and articles are done on Saturday, so I don't have to worry about it. And I'm a fantasy football player, so I'm really, really huge into that. That's changed my whole outlook on football. So a Sunday, I'm definitely going to have something hearty in the morning, something like an Imperial Stout, something like that, like something dark and heavy that serves as an anchor. And then when I get to usually a beer bar that has a great television. You got to have HD or I'm not watching the game. It's just that simple. So I need to have that. And what audio of the game they're going to have. And then I have my laptop with me. And then I'm going to be ordering brews and just kind of foods. I watch what I eat. So I'm definitely going to do something along the fish line or, you know, I'll do breasts of chicken if I have to do anything like that. Nothing greasy. And I have a salad and I'm just enjoying my beer throughout the day. And usually I do it maybe 6 to 7% kind of beers. I get IPAs. They're fun to sip and they last really well, even when they get warm. That's a whole other misconception about beer being ice cold. That's not true. Only lagers are typically served very cold. Ales sip better because you can watch a game. If you've got a lager and that thing gets warm, you don't want to drink it no more. You're just ready to order another one. So that's one of my strategies I do. And then at the end of those games on Sunday, you always got your night games popping off, and that's super cool, too. So I got my night games, and if there's a possible basketball game going on, I'll just get my DVR going and catch up on the highlights later on. But football is my thing.
All right, so would you rather crack a brew with, like, a Maxim model or your favorite sports player?
Wow, well, I just got engaged, so I better watch my answer on this one. It depends on how good the sports player is going to be drinking brew, though, man. Like, I don't want to buy, like, no, I don't want nothing. I'm giving me a light beer or something. I'm like, damn, the Maxim model might be kind of fun, though. Man, that's a tough one. It depends on so many other things, where the hell we are, the beer selection and the whole nine. So it would be, with a sports player, it would be somebody who's legendary that I could pick their brain and talk about sports stories and things I always want to know about. I think a Maxim model is only going to tell me so much.
Al, to go back to something that you mentioned earlier as far as misconceptions, can you give us some other misconceptions when it comes to beer drinking, whether it's the commercials that we see in terms of, mm-hmm. you know, beer being brewed or frost brewed or delivered or freshness or how long a beer kind of lasts before you want to have another one? Give us some more misconceptions when it comes to beer that we should be aware of and just pay more attention to.
A huge thing. When you go to a bar that really specializes in craft beer, they're going to have excellent glassware to complement the style of the beer. Not every damn beer has to be in a frosted glass. Do not get a beer in a frosted glass because it waters it down. It may seem refreshing, and it's only refreshing for those first 5 minutes. After that, it's watery, and the beer is not going to be to its top form the way it should be presented, particularly the ones I drink. So, put like ales and that type of thing, get yourself a little tulip glass and do your thing. Get it poured right. Also, when you go to a place that has a lot of taps, do not be scared to ask for a taste of the beer. It's that way you can really know what you're going to put your money into, and they'll be happy to do it because that means you know your stuff and you know your craft. You just want to make sure that's the beer you want to invest your money into. And also beer, what's another one? Oh, yeah, you know, people always serve it in ice cold. Again, that's not really an issue when you're drinking a stout. And that brother who really likes whiskey and bourbons, they have bourbon-aged stouts where they age the beer in those kind of casks that were originally used for a bourbon or a whiskey. So you have that flavor, and that might bring you back to the beer scene a little bit, brother, man. Bourbon County Stout, there are a lot of different stouts that are made throughout the country now that are aged in these kind of whiskey kind of barrels, so you can kind of bridge that gap between sipping whiskey and sipping a beer. I think you'd be very happy with that, and I can gladly give you a name of some brews for that. Another misconception about beer, let's see, what can we talk about? Like all beer being bitter, of course we talked about that. And also, beer is the best pairing beverage for food. So whatever you're ordering, think about, let's say you get something greasy, like fish and chips or something like that, or a lot of wings, you might want to get a crisp beer that will cut through that grease and that fat and make you kind of refresh your palate a little bit. If you're drinking something hot and you want something extra hot, you get an IPA because it enhances the heat on the tongue. So there's different little tricks and trades you can do. If you love chocolate cake, get yourself a chocolate stout. It's the best pairing ever. It rocks. It's crazy. So there's different things. Experiment, open your mind, and enjoy beer at its fullest.
Al, I'm loving your answers here, but let me take this a little bit more generic. Let's put your mind in. No, just put your mind in your generic beers, your Budweiser's, your Miller's, okay. your whatever's. The regular beer versus the light beer. Where do you stand on that? Are light beers, like, you know, off the limit for you, or do they have their purpose at times?
The only time you'll see me drinking a light beer is after that's the only beer they have. And even then, sometimes I kind of just turn it down because beer isn't really made to be light. Beer is made to be enjoyed. And you're not really saving that many calories by drinking a light beer as opposed to a regular beer. You won't see a true brewery making light beer. It's just not happening. There would be beers that are light in body, but it's not a light beer where you're really purposely cutting down calories. You try a Saison, you try one of the wheat beers. They have lagers that are crisp, but not totally light beers. Light beers is like water to me. If people drink it because they love it refreshing, they could crush a lot of them, I could recommend other beers that they can have that are just with the same amount of body, but still a lot more flavor. I will say, if I had to drink a light beer, Sammy Adams makes a decent light beer. That's really all I can really name. In fact, Coors Light does actually taste colder than other beers. I don't know what the hell they do, but it does taste a little colder than the other light beers that are out there. But overall, you won't catch me with any of those beers. I'd rather just cross my arms and get in the corner and pout because there's no real beer at that establishment.
First off,
I want to say that all of this information is really good, man. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm, like, really paying attention.
And we should do a beer tasting sometime.
Yeah, man. That'd be cool. But could you give off maybe, I don't know, maybe four good, solid beers to look for that is readily accessible, you know, anywhere in the U.S.? Our fans are everywhere. So nothing that's too niche to a specific region, but can you just ramble off maybe like four good ones that we should check for and why?
I think we got to go with breweries that are widely distributed but still considered a craft brewery. So Sierra Nevada makes some great stuff. And if you want something that's kind of hoppy, has a little bit of body to it and that type of thing, the Sierra Nevada Torpedo will give you a lot of notes of grapefruit, and then a little bit of earthy tones to it. And that's something that's always fun. So go by the brewery. Usually they're not going to make any BS. So look for, like, Sierra Nevada. Look for Boulevard. Makes really great stuff. But I got one for you. Get to Victory. Victory is based out of Pennsylvania, and they have a beer called the Golden Monkey. Absolutely delicious, sweet. And that lady who said all beer is bitter, she has a little sip of that. She's like, okay, I can do this. And that style is a triple. So definitely you think about that. There's Bourbon County. If you're lucky enough to get that in your state, grab a Bourbon County, which is arguably one of the best stouts in the world. It's fantastic. You know you can't lose. Bell's Brewery makes great beer, too. So it's all about your palate and what you're thinking about. There are Saisons out there that are really popular right now, and they're refreshing. So a style Saison is good. Who makes a really good Saison? Victory makes actually a pretty good Saison as well. There's just so many great breweries out there, but the ones that really are mass-produced where you can have access to them, like a Bell's or Founders, makes excellent beer. Try something Imperial Stout from these kind of guys, and you'll be very happy. As far as Atlanta's concerned, let's see, what can people get us? Oh, Sweetwater's kicking a lot of tail. Their 420 is, if you like light beer, but you want something with a little bit of body to it and a little more character, grab a 420. That's actually pretty good, too. So there's some breweries out here that are really making moves. Terrapin is really good, too. They have one called the Moo, which is an Imperial Stout. And then they have one called Cinnamon Road Wake and Bake, which is awesome. It's a coffee stout made with cinnamon that sold out ridiculously. But check out some of the other beers that they have. So go by the brewery, and then you can go from there. And those will be found in pretty much popular places everywhere.
All right. Ale Sharpton, beer expert and aficionado, thank you for hanging out with us and giving us some knowledge, giving us some perspective. Let all of our listeners know how they can find out more about you and whatever you have going on.
No doubt. And again, I dropped the word, the Lindemann's Frambois, which is that raspberry kind of beer that actually you guys might like too. But anyway, please follow me, my award-winning blog, alesharpton.com. That's alesharpton.com. I won a best blog, drink blog, top five in the U.S. last year, so hopefully I win again. And you'll just see me around. My Twitter is alesharpton, so that's straight and direct. And then my Instagram is realalesharpton. R-E-A-L Sharpton. There's a lady named Ale Sharpton, if you can believe it, in Colombia. So she beat me too on Instagram, but I'm pimping the rest of them joints.
Well, all right. Ale.
All right, y'all.
We look forward to having you on real soon.
My brothers, congrats on your show. And anything I do to help support, let me know. Give me a shout out when you guys are going to be posting everything, and I'll pump it on my Twitter and everything else, okay?
All right, man. Sounds good.
Sunshine, it's been a minute since I seen you. I don't really know what happened or what got between us. Last summer I was falling for autumn so eager. Till her cousin Winter had me caught up in a sleeper. And I just broke up with that cold bitch, she acted diva. So you know, bruh, I need a breather. A couple liters with a couple of Filipinas. Smoking some good sativa, losing these sneakers, perusing these beaches, huh? Shit. Add a couple trainers. We gon' make the summer hot, boy, jalapeno. Hitting these streets like I was AC water, I'm out here. See, these other little youngers ain't figuring me out yet. You can spit these bars, you can look the part, but can you really handle music and fashion and art? I thought I told you motherfuckers, it's all in the stars. Get a line, it's the style, the summer is ours. at a cookout with my feet up. D rolling tree up. We gon' burn it down after we fuck this chair. We up. Hawking like I'm Steven. Tell them stars I see the ease up. We could pour for another three cups. Lean up and just vibe with it. They calling me Michael Phelps the way you're young and dive in it. Hell, I'm hoping Shorty just has a decent mind. Him and if she do, try and go. Try and get this girl present front row at every show that calm my nerves. Afterwards, we can swerve. If you butter up that waffle, baby, I provide the serve. We for sure getting it in. Shorty gone. Call up your friends and we'll ascend to a rooftop red cupboard again. I'm in the sun till it's too hot. Then I move with the crew to a cool spot. Preferably not the used, but a new spot. You know the summer, it's just stoops, parks, and rooftops. Brooklyn.
This is the Section 357 show, and as we always do on our show, last call for alcohol or something like it. D, what do you have?
Just want to give a shout out to all the fans out there, be they male or female, fans of the Section 357 show that appreciate the combination that comes with sports and alcohol, be it basketball and beer, be it whiskey and football, be it wine and tennis, it doesn't matter what it is. There's no better excuse for drinking or, you know, enjoying some time with the friends, with the family, with the coworkers, and having that adult beverage than sports. The combination of sports and alcohol is such a beautiful thing, and this is what the Section 357 show brings.
Last call for alcohol or something like it. Trey, what do you have?
Oh, man, what a great guest. I'm not an expert of beer, not by any means, but I do drink. So when I do go to a package store to, you know, get whatever my little weekend delight is going to be, I typically ask whoever's around that halfway knows anything about beer, you know, what's a good local to grab? And I'll grab like a little 22 of it or a single if they have it along with my purchase. And it'll be just some random thing, but if you do it enough, you end up getting a palate for what you like, and you end up liking beer a little bit more and more. So that's what I would just recommend to all of our fans. Just if you're going out to just grab something real quick, you know, spend an extra $4 or $5 to get another smaller beer and just expand your beer palate. That's it. Thanks for tuning in.
Everybody's designated driver, Big Shot Ron, last call for alcohol or something like it. What did you have, sir?
My last call goes out to my drinking crew. And this guest proved that there's so much depth in the world. I never realized how complex and honestly complicated selecting beer or selecting your favorite drink can become. So to all my drinking family out there, man, I salute you because this is a pretty complex process to develop that palate. So shout out to you. Never let people tell you that you are stupid for drinking, because clearly you can't be stupid to get your palate in order. So shout out to you, Floyd. Send us home, man. What are you drinking right now as you send us home?
Well, Ryan, I'm not drinking right now, but that may change after the show is over. But just to back up the earlier point, and you, Ron, as the designated driver, we've mentioned it before, if you're out enjoying, please do enjoy responsibly. Take a cab, call Uber, call Lyft, stay where you are, you know, if that's, you know, the best option. Don't drive intoxicated, and let's be safe out there and enjoy responsibly. With that being said, good luck to you and your favorite teams out there, your favorite breweries out there, wherever you might be. This has been the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.